Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so shalt thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up the voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and this is our Friday Focus. This week has been exciting for our church as we plan to move back to services in our church in early June. That is just next week, believe it or not. So we have our elders and our deacons working hard to prepare the way back. It will require some measures to keep everyone safe, including no singing. What? That is a terrible dampener on our joyful worship unto the Lord. We will just have to learn how to feed on the words of our hymns in meditation and offer them up to the Lord in heartfelt thanksgiving without singing them out aloud. We can't stop praising the Lord in our worship. Psalms and hymns are the Christian's way of worship, and God gives us a new song. And we do on earth what the glorified saints do in heaven. They sing day and night. Let me encourage families to sing at home. Get a hymnal and sing your way through it a little each day. I come back to my favorite adage, sing until you want to pray, and pray until you want to sing. The two go together. Many of the Psalms are a marvel of prayer and praise. We hardly know the difference in the mind of the psalmists who wrote them. And this teaches us that our worship, our praying should be full of thanksgiving, and our praise should be prayerful. This week I read a wonderful little detail by one of our fellow ministers, the Reverend Peter McIntyre, and it's on the rainbow of hope. One of the most memorable features of the COVID-19 crisis in the UK has been the displays of the rainbow as a symbol of hope. Colourful rainbows have been drawn by children, displayed on windows and flown on flagpoles. The symbol has been especially used as an expression of gratitude to our gallant National Health Service workers and those involved in all the caring professions during these dark and difficult days. When others obeyed orders and stayed indoors, they exposed themselves to danger to care for the sick. They were in the front line protecting society from the ravages of this pandemic, and we honour their sacrifice, skill and courage. The NHS gave our nation hope, and they still do. Therefore, the rainbows were and are unfurled. In claiming the rainbow of these in these troubled times, society has been using a traditional Christian symbol of hope. The rainbow, properly used, is a symbol of grace and love given to us by our benevolent Creator. In days of trouble and fear, we need hope. And God has given us the rainbow, which has been such a symbol of optimism in the most pessimistic of days. The first appearance of the rainbow in the history of the world occurred after Noah stepped out of the ark. The population of the world had been decimated as a consequence of the rain, flooding, and volcanic eruptions. When Noah and his family stepped back on dry land, they entered a very different world than the one they had left behind. They were alone amid the vastness of a planet that had been reshaped by the fearful cataclysm. They were tasked with the repopulating the earth, saving the human race, and re-establishing society once again. Those were truly the worst of times. At that moment, God presented Noah with the bow in the cloud. As Noah's eyes were drawn to the beautiful colors, God affirmed his covenant that the world would never again be destroyed by a flood. The shape of the rainbow was modeled after the archer's weapon. The bow dispatched arrows of injury and death, but this bow had no arrow. Rather than representing fear, its colors related vibrant beauty, and its happy message was one of grace and hope. The Grim Reaper has been busy during the COVID-19 pandemic, when arrows of sickness and death are being hurled at a helpless population. We have been reminded of a bow that is empty of arrows and contains only a message of love and beauty. The rainbow teaches us that in a broken world, true love, hope, and peace can only be found in a gracious God, because He alone is love. Some have speculated that COVID-19 is a consequence of God's judgment upon us for our sins. I do not deny that we deserve judgment, but the Bible depicts a God whose nature is balanced, holy and just on the one hand, but long-suffering and kind on the other. Therefore, in the darkest place, we are never without hope as long as God exists. When Noah looked up and saw that first rainbow, it appeared in the cloud. The rain clouds had brought the world to disaster. But Noah was reminded that when the clouds which brought so much tragedy appeared, God would ensure that such a deluge would never occur again. Humanity would survive. Therefore, there have been many dark clouds over these past months, clouds of fear, anxiety, and uncertainty. But through the clouds we see the rainbow. God loves this world, and He supplies us with hope amid the gloom. And what is the hope that God has given? It is the hope of the gospel. The gospel simply means good news. The news has been so bad, and some have chosen not to listen, read, or watch. But here is news that never was more relevant, and which is always good. We must never switch this news off. Have we not been taught that nothing, whether it be health, finances, or life itself, can be taken for granted? Things that once seemed important now feel so trivial in the light of infinitely greater concerns. This world is a barren wilderness. Job in the Old Testament called it correctly when he described man as being born unto trouble. But into this world with all its shadows came Jesus Christ as the perfect man to die and defeat death through his resurrection that we might have hope. He is the ultimate rainbow in the cloud. True hope is found alone in Him. Have you found true hope and peace in Christ alone? Whatever society looks like after COVID-19, it will be a better place for you if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. What about it, my friend? Will you today bow the knee to the God of grace, the God who put that rainbow in the cloud and made a covenant that he will never again destroy the world by a flood? He is merciful, and the same God has sent his Son to be our Savior, that we may trust in him for eternal life. Come, trust him now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Men may scale the highest mountain and descend the deepest sea, but no one could ever measure God's great love at Calvary. Love of Christ so pure and tender, love so merciful and free, far beyond all comprehension is the love of Christ for me. Some may try to live without him and his beauty never see. I shall ever sing his praises for the love he gave.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the Free Presbyterian Church Ministry in Canada. This is Ian Gollaher. I trust the Lord has blessed you already today, and that you'll stay tuned as we move to the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. And here we're going to learn of the Lord's mercies and the Lord's great grace, not because of what we do, but in spite of who we are and what we do. And I want you to be encouraged through this message today from the pulpit of our church in Cloverdale.
Now this evening we're coming to these verses in Isaiah, and why verses 27, 28 of chapter 43 are so important is that they give the reason for Israel's troubles. And you will learn in those verses that because they profaned the things of God. Now profane means to secularize, to trivialize the things of God from being holy and sacred. Well, God pretty much gave them over. And we are told here that he gave Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. And so we can see the whole cycle of events here. There was false teaching. The teachers are mentioned in verse 27. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. And so the false teaching led them into error. Error led them into sin. Sin led to God's curse, and God's curse led to reproach from their neighbors, their enemies, and they were vilified until indeed they were taken off captives into Babylon. Israel had no testimony among men. Error, sin, and failure will do that to Christians too. And we need to remember that tonight. And we need to be warned that if we secularize what is sacred, bring the world into the church, or lower the standard of the church to the world, then God will give us over to our enemies. And that is a very solemn warning. Now, when we come into chapter 44, you would imagine after reading the end of chapter 43 that it's going to be all downhill from there. But no, Surprise, surprise. The Lord's word in chapter 44 is good. It starts with, yet hear now. It's the turning point. It is the flip side. Instead of God continuing to leave his people to reproach, he will have a message for them. And it's a message of grace. And in these verses, God reveals himself as a wonderful God of grace. And so in these verses, we have a revelation of the nature of God as gracious to his very own people. Now, there is no logic to grace. You can't just do it mathematically. 1 equals 1 plus 1 equals 2 and so on. There is no logic. God chooses whom he will choose. He loves whom he will love. And he bypasses those whom he pleases. And so this is the amazing mercy of God to little Israel, failure Israel, idolatrous Israel, Israel that had failed so miserably. Yet God is not going to give them up. And chapter 44 does not begin with for or because, but more like in spite of. Despite your failings, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. The first thing we discover here is that God will never abandon his own children. O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. I hope you see that right there in the middle of verse 1, and then you'll have O Jacob again in verse 2. Now, that O is the O of God's love. God is not going to let them go. He is not going to abandon them, but he has a plan of grace and mercy. And you'll notice here that God remembers both the name of Jacob and Israel. They are his ancient people. They are that body of people with whom he began way back in the days of Abraham, chose him, called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, made Jacob, changed his name to Israel. This is the same nation, the same people, generations later, and God is not going to abandon them despite their sins, despite their failures. God has chosen him. Now, God elects out of love. He sets his love upon his people. And the calling of God has no repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't go to the orphanage, take out a boy or a girl, and then decide the next day to leave them back. No, once you are into God's family, you are in for all eternity. And once you're chosen of God, he has set his love upon you. He has fixed his love upon you. And he will never change the focus of his wonderful love. And Ephesians chapter 1 is still the same today. Let me read verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 1, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And so there's the only reason you can find. God chooses sinners. He chooses the least, the last, and the undone for his own glory. If you find any logic at all in grace, it is that God is working to bring glory to his own name. And here Isaiah projects a God of great grace. And he keeps bringing the reader back to the majesty of God, that there is none like him. And indeed, this chapter goes on into the folly of idolatry. There is no other. And of course, we tonight take great delight that we serve not only a great God, not only a mighty, powerful God, but one who is so good, so kind, so loving to his own chosen people. And to be able to call ourselves Christians, disciples, followers, children of God, this is blessed indeed. Now, secondly, this God of grace comforts his chosen. And of course, in verse 2, you'll see here, the fear not. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Now you'll see that there is here a long-standing relationship. And he emphasizes again, O Jacob, these are God's ancient people, the same people that he started out with. He formed them as from the womb. God and Israel have been there from day one. And of course, every child of God is born into the family. We become believers through the grace, the love of God that is toward us. Then there's also a long-standing servitude, because he refers to Jacob as my servant. Now think of Eliezer, who was the servant of Abraham. He was not just a day hired for a day, but he was a lifelong servant. And that's how it was in ancient times. Men would be attached to their master all of their lives and serve in that household all of their days. And here is this long-standing servitude of Israel. You're my servant. I've made you to serve me, and this is not going to change. And for us to be the Lord's servant, to be serving the Lord, it's no hireling situation, but it is a lifetime commitment. And we're serving the Lord each and every day until that day when Jesus comes or Jesus calls. And so for us, it is also the long-standing servitude. Then also you'll see there the upstanding testimony. You'll notice that God stoops down to refer to Jacob and Israel as Jeshurun. Jeshurun. This is God's pet name for his own people. And four times you'll find this in the Bible. It's an ancient name and it means upright. And it's God's pet family, precious name, where he declares his fondness for his people. What a beautiful thing that God takes delight and he takes a fatherly attitude in loving and caring for his own children. Now, God finds no fault. Jeshurun is upright. And you remember how we looked at that verse in chapter 43:22, I have blotted out thy sins. And then over in chapter 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. That's how God sees Israel. That's how God sees his people. And if you are a Christian, if you're in Christ, if you are washed in the blood, redeemed by that blood, then God looks upon you tonight fondly, with great delight, because he sees no sin in his own beloved people. And that is why in this pandemic time, when people get depressed and discouraged, the greatest service that the Christian church can do is to preach the gospel, to tell people of God's loving kindness and mercies to those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if perchance you're tuning in tonight and you're hearing the gospel, perhaps you've not heard this before, but you can have your sins forgiven, you can have complete peace with God, and you will be the object of his love. God will deal with you kindly, even as he did to Israel. We move on now to verse 3, and we see that a God of grace will plentifully supply the spiritual needs of his people. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Now, let's get the connection here. Let's notice that the verse 3 begins with "for," and it links up to the "fear not" in verse 2. "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." God is not done with his people yet. There is a future of plentiful supply. And if we're thirsty for God, he will supply the water for that. Now, these floods speak of the plentifulness. Floods on a dry ground. We know that even a bucket of water upon a thirsty desert, it'll just disappear in a second. And it takes rivers upon rivers of flooding water to make a change in that dry, dusty desert place. But God promises floods upon the dry land. And as the Church of the Lord Jesus has known so much about dearth and dryness, it seems that the Spirit of God is restrained from the church. If we are thirsty, the Lord promises, he will supply his Spirit in mighty power, wonderful supplies. And so let's take heart tonight. And I think we need to take this promise to the Lord in prayer, and we need to plead for the water upon the thirsty and the floods upon the dry ground. Surely our nations are dry. We are in great need of the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon our nations, that there might be a reviving of the Lord's church, that there might be a gathering in of many souls. Will you pray for that tonight? Can I count on you to hear you pray for that this evening? Will you do that in your home?
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.